Okay then, everybody's ready, are they? Right, well, I'll tell you what, right, I want to speak about this morning. I'm going to be, not going to be long, it'll be about a quarter hour, something like that. Speak about salvation. Salvation. When Fraser sang that song, right, I was only thinking, do you know the great I am? Do you know the great I am? Do you know him? Right. The Lord appeared to Moses at the burning bush. He said, I am that I am. And Moses knew the great I am. And I know the great I am. But the question is this morning, do you know the great I am? Do you know him as a person? If you want a text, right, the text is right, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, and it goes like this, right? This is in the Amplified Bible, that's the one I use. For he says, in a time of favor, of an assured welcome, I have listened to and heeded your call, and have helped you on the day of deliverance, the day of salvation. Behold, now is the truly time for a gracious welcome and acceptance from God. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. God has right set, if you like, a timeline. And that timeline has stretched right from when he was born, which we are celebrating at this time, when he was born in a manger, right up until this present moment. And it's called a day of salvation. It's called a day of grace. It's called a day of opportunity. But you can miss the opportunity. You can miss that day. There is a time in God's economy when he listens to sinners and responds to those who are repentant. That's all to do with salvation. You don't have salvation. You don't come to know Jesus. You don't come to know the great I am unless you repent. And Isaiah puts it like this. In chapter 55 and verses 6 and 7, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly. Here is one of the clearest invitations in the scriptures to salvation. Now and kingdom blessing. It gives excellent example of how people, us like you and me, and people in the world this morning, right, who are perhaps in a service like this, how people can respond and how people are saved. Salvation, grace, mercy is available to the soul that is willing to seek the Lord and call upon him while he is near. Because he's not going to be always near. There's going to come a time when the day of salvation, the day of opportunity, the day of grace is going to end. And then the opportunity will be gone. Such a true seeking in faith is accompanied by repentance, which is described as ways and thoughts and turning from sinful living to the Lord. A sinner must come believing in God, recognizing his sin, and desiring forgiveness and deliverance from that sin. At the same time, he must recognize his own inability to be righteous or to satisfy God and cast himself on God's mercy. It is then that he receives complete pardon and complete salvation, and is no salvation without repentance. I'd like to read, if I could, write a passage in the scriptures which gives us a picture of this salvation and what one man did. Jesus records this in Luke chapter 18 and verses 9 to 14. It's a parable, and I'll read it to you. He also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves and were confident that they were righteous, that they were upright and in right standing with God, and scorned and made nothing of all the rest of men. Now he goes on, two men went up into the temple enclosure to pray. The one, a Pharisee, and the other, a tax collector. The Pharisee took his stand ostentatiously and began to pray thus before and with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of men, extortioners, robbers, swindlers, unrighteous in heart and life, adulterers, or even like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I gain." But the tax collector, merely standing at a distance, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his breast, saying, "O God, be favorable, be gracious, be merciful to me, the especially wicked sinner that I am." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified, forgiven, and made upright and in right standing with God, rather than the other man. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Here's a man in the temple, a tax collector. I'm going to speak about another tax collector as well. One hated by his own countrymen because he was a tax collector. He was one who frauded his own countrymen. He fraudulently took money from them that he shouldn't have took from them. And we read of another man, as well, in the next chapter, still in Luke, chapter 19. And it's we'll read from verses, chapter 19 and verses 1 to 9. And Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. And there was a man called Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he was trying to see Jesus, which one he was, but he could not on account of the crowd because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus reached the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down, and he received and welcomed him joyfully. And when the people saw it, they all muttered among themselves and indignantly complained, he has gone to be the guest of and lodge with a man who is devoted to sin and preeminently a sinner. So then Zacchaeus stood up and solemnly declared to the Lord, see, Lord, the half of my goods I now give by way of restoration to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I now restore four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today is Messiah and spiritual salvation come to all the members of this household, since Zacchaeus too is a real spiritual son of Abraham. And the point I want to make right about these two men is this, is that they closed in upon the day. They did not pass the day up. They did not pass the day of salvation up. They grabbed it with both hands. They grabbed it. Zacchaeus, willing to make restitution, was proof that his conversion was genuine. It was the fruit, not the condition, of his salvation. And the law requires a penalty of 1/5 as restitution for money acquired by fraud. Zacchaeus was doing more than was required. But Zacchaeus judged his own crime severely, acknowledging that he was as guilty as the lowest common robber. Since much of his wealth had probably been acquired fraudulently, this was a costly commitment. On top of that, he gave half of his goods to the poor. But Zacchaeus had just found incomprehensible spiritual riches and did not mind the loss of material wealth. And Jesus said this to him, today has salvation come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. That's why we are celebrating his birth. He's come, right, to seek and to save those who are lost, to give us salvation. But we can see that these two men, they seized the day. They did not pass the day up. But there's another man in Scripture, right? I'm going to talk about him for a little time now, right? But the question I want to ask you is this, right? And the question must be asked, what prevents it from being today for you if you have not received salvation, if you do not know the great I am, if you do not know Jesus? And I'm going to use a big word, right? If you don't know what it means, I'll explain what it means, right? And it's the word, right? Procrastination. Procrastination. Now, there's, right, a proverb which goes like this. Procrastination is the thief of time. But more so, it is the thief of souls. It is the thief of souls. I'm going to read, right, a chapter in Acts, right? It's Acts chapter 24. And it's verses 24 to 27. And it goes like this. it's about a man called Felix, who was a Roman governor. And at this time in Paul's ministry, Paul was right in his charge. He was in chains, and we read in chapter verse 24 these words. Some days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess. She really won his wife. And he sent for Paul and listened to him talk about faith in Christ Jesus. But as he continued to argue about uprightness, purity of life, the control of passions, and the judgment to come, Felix became alarmed and terrified and said, "Go away for the present. When I have a convenient opportunity, I will send for you. I will send for you. When I have a convenient opportunity, I will send for you." Now, this man Felix was afraid living with a woman he had lured away from her husband. Drusilla wasn't his husband really, his wife really. Felix obviously lacked righteousness and self-control, and the realization that he faced judgment alarmed him, and he hastily dismissed Paul. And he said the words, "When I have a more convenient time, I'll hear you about this matter." Now, I want to tell you right to this, right? This is not recorded in Scripture, but it is recorded in church history, that that man Felix, he never had a more convenient time. Because if you read right on in the chapter, right, he was replaced by Festus, another governor. And Felix, right, went to the city of Pompeii. And in Pompeii, at the back of Pompeii, is a big volcano called Eusebius. And right, at the time that Felix was there, that, right, volcano erupted. And that was the end of Felix. Didn't have that convenient, that other convenient moment. Never came in his life. He procrastinated. And his soul was lost. He did not receive what Paul had spoke about. He did not receive salvation. He did not experience the great I am. He did not experience Jesus as his savior. He could have. He procrastinated and lost his soul. The moment of conviction passed, and Felix foolishly passed up his opportunity to repent. And I'd like us to just think of these words for a minute, right? God promised forgiveness to your repentance, but he has not promised tomorrow to your procrastination. He's promised forgiveness now. He's promised salvation now, today, not tomorrow. I'd like to read you a little story by, I've got a book, and this guy has wrote this book, he's called Roy Bezuck, and he gives us account, right, of when he was in Bible college. He says, "In my second year at Bible college, I and several students went every Sunday morning to one of the missions on Skid Row. After the service one Sunday morning, I was talking with a man about his soul. He knew the way of salvation. He knew practically every verse I showed him. In fact, he said he wanted to be saved, but he didn't want to then. I pleaded with him, with that man, for an hour and a half to turn to Christ, now that he had the opportunity. But he would not yield to Christ. He himself even told me of incidents in which men were suddenly taken by death. I told him he was preaching his own sermon and that that could happen to him too. But he put it off. And in despair, I left the man who continued to say, "Not now, not now, not now." What a tragedy that many are the same way today. They intend to be saved, they intend to come to Jesus, but not now. And I want to finish right with a poem. It goes like this. Tomorrow, he promised his conscience. Tomorrow, I mean to believe. Tomorrow, I'll think as I ought to. Tomorrow, my Savior receive. Tomorrow, I'll conquer the habit that hold one from heaven away. But ever his conscience repeated one word, and only one, today. Tomorrow, 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 thus day after day it went on. Tomorrow, tomorrow, till youth, like a vision, was gone. Till age and his passions had written the message of fate on his brow. And forth from the shadows came death with the pitiless syllable, "Now." Right. If you don't know Jesus this morning, if you don't know him right as your Savior, as the one who loves you, he loves you tremendously. Right? He didn't come to judge the world. He came to save. He came to give us new life. He came to make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. He comes to give us life more abundant. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. Right. Don't put it off. Yield to him today. Say, "Lord, I want you today." Put it off. You'd be like Felix. You'd be like, right, the man who Roy Zuck has, right, written about. You'd be like the man in the poem. You missed the day. You passed it out.